Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is my man.
Lakeside. Woo, don't we just love Lakeside? I mean, that's like that. They got that funk, right? That thing. That we just love so much. So anyway, what's up, everybody? How you doing? Much love. This is Wardell Fox Jr. for Solar Records Radio. And man, oh man, we are celebrating today the sound of Los Angeles Records. So I'm glad you guys are here so that we can have a great time together. I love going down memory lane, as everyone knows. That's what I do here on Solar Records Radio, because it's all about the music and how much it blesses us and all the great things that happened in our lives while this music was so fresh and new and on our minds and in our hearts, right? And we were meeting people and dating people and loving people, and just so much was happening. We were hurting and we were sad, but this music somehow found a way to make us feel better and bless us in the storm. So I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to be over here and do this with you guys. Play this music that we enjoyed as young pups, right? And now, even as older people, we can just go, wow. I love the fact that our old school is the kids' old school today now. I love it in the sense that it means that we did something right musically, right? Because the Motown stuff is still my old school. Motown really blessed my generation with some great old school music, and so on and on and on. And so, and then the next generation, when, you know, I mean, obviously there was other things that happened between there, but, you know, because Philly the National came out and whoa, and they really took care of business, right? And so, and then you also had Solar, the sound of Los Angeles Records, that came out in the late 70s and just took over the 80s, what? Right? And the music changed all around. And so that's what I love about this music, guys. So today, with Don Fleming and myself, we're just going to celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. What's up, Mr. Fleming? How are you, brother?
I'm good, Mr. Potts. How are you?
Oh, I'm just stroking with Dynasty in the background. Oh, stroking. Yeah. Ooh, I need
nice.
A microphone.
Nice.
I need a... Yeah, baby. Let me sing a little bit. Oh, man.
Go.
Yeah, you know, Don and I we both are so bad, maybe we'll sing something together to come out good.
I know, man. We could come up with, you know, Wardell and Don sings the tune.
That's right. Or it will be maybe an explosion as far as Greg is concerned. I know.
I know.
He's over there right now stressing out about what, just us talking about singing. So it's all good. Who cares, man? You know, Greg, he's such a... He's an old man, man. Always on our case, man. But listen, I just want everybody to know that it's still a thrill here, you know, 40 years later, to be able to come on and celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records with you guys. Thank you, guys. Thanks to the listeners, the people that went out and purchased the music, that supported our careers, that blessed us, that made this all happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving the music that we did, that you loved. You blessed us.
Oh, son.
It was because of you. Yeah, it was because... I'm emotional now, but it was because of you, and that's real talk. You know, and so thank you, thank you, thank you, because you put your money where your mouth was, right? Nowadays, kids don't buy records. What's up with your generation, Don?
I know. There you go. We bought tapes. We bought tapes and CDs. So.
Yeah, y'all did. Y'all did. The 90s kids. And yeah. Y'all did good. Y'all did good. But, you know, back in the day, man, I mean, we lived for it. We couldn't wait to get the records, right? Because inside the records, there will be posters and all kinds of information about the artist.
Yeah, the liner notes. I was that weird kid that read all the liner notes in that album, you know, especially if it was a cassette tape. You open up that paper, you open up the little paper, and you read those liner notes, as small as those letters were. And you read in it, it's like Shalimar, you know, the Look album, Lakeside's Untouchables album, and you know, Your Wish Is My Command, all of that, you know, all of those albums, you know, the outrageous ones. You know, you read all, you know, who wrote this and who did this, who played drums on this. I mean, it was good to know about that, man. And that lets you know that, you know, the people were very serious about the music that they love listening to. And also, it wasn't even about, you know, nowadays, you know, it's about one song. You know, it's about, let me find that song on Spotify. Let me find that song on Tidal, that one song. And it wasn't about an album. I think a lot of these younger generations are missing out on it, on understanding how good a lot of these albums were.
Absolutely. It is something else, man, because, you know, Don, when I go back and listen to the other music that other artists done, I go, wow, this music is amazing. And I'm just so proud of what they've done. I mean, I get emotional, and I don't want you guys to think I'm a softie or anything, but music has a way of impacting our emotions. And so just talking about the power of, just saying anything about music, the power is activated. It's activated. When we're talking about this music, it activates my emotions because of it's, that's just what it does. See, music is so powerful, it doesn't get your permission to do these things. It just goes in and it does what it does. And before you know, you're singing a song you didn't even try to learn because it's inside of you without your permission. Has that ever happened to you, Don? And all of a, you know, you playing a video game. You're not trying to learn the song. You playing, you know, the game, and all of a sudden you know this song. You start humming this song. You go, what the? I know this song all of a sudden. Now you don't, you know. So that's just the way it is. But listen, I do want to get to the music, and I want to just kind of share a little bit with you guys. So check this out. In the beginning, for me, Wardell Potts Jr., the drummer outside of Philadelphia that came to Los Angeles in 1979 to work with Solar, to work with Leon Silvers, really. And Leon Silvers was the one that took me to Solar. And Dick Griffey and Leon decided that they wanted me to be the drummer that played on the records. So I was very, very blessed and happy that happened. And it was a tough situation for me because I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no clue. I was just a young man, 21 years old, trying to figure out what am I going to do with my life. I want to be a professional musician, but I didn't know that it was going to happen the way that it happened. I just got a phone call, and then next thing I know, I'm in California doing, you know, and it was just, that's just how fast things can happen in life with anything, not just music, but anything. So whatever your situation is, you know, and some of you guys have experienced that already, you know, you are blessed. Before you know it, that person that you've been thinking about and praying about is all of a sudden right there. And you're like, oh my goodness, where did you come from? You know? And so that's what happened with me. And I just, all of a sudden, I was in Los Angeles and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? Okay, so now I'm on, it's like everybody in Philadelphia knows Wardell went to California to audition. All the musicians knew is what I'm talking about. Not everybody else, but the musicians, the only ones I really cared about. I cared about their opinion because they were my comrades. I mean, my confidants, not my confidants, my constituents, right? And so I was like, okay, listen. All right, so I'm out here. I'm feeling the pressure of making this audition. And so finally, Leon picks me up. We go over to the Silvers' house downstairs in the basement in Palos Verdes. And so Leon says, okay, Wardell, you know, let's just strike up a groove. Let's just strike up a groove. So he put his bass on, and I'm sitting on the drums, and I start playing the groove, right? And so then he says, okay, all right, I need you to do this feel. And then he'll tell me what the feel is. And then I go, okay. And so I did the fill, whatever it was. Boom, right? And then he'll say, okay, Wardell, do this fill. And then he'll tell me what the fill is, and I go, okay. And then I'll do it. Right, whatever. And so, right, we just fill. We're going. And he said, okay, Wardell, I need you to do this fill. And so every time he asked me to do a fill, I did the fill. Now, I got to tell you the secret behind the secret. The secret behind the secret is that I've always played all kind of fills because I was a jazz drummer. And so it was all about fills being a jazz drummer. But I never played R&B. Go ahead.
Did you ever feel, I guess, and you know, this is no disrespect to, you know, going, you know, learning pockets or whatnot. But, you know, being a jazz drummer, did you feel that going, transitioning into more of a pocket category or whatnot, did you feel like it was easier? Or how, you know, and again, I don't want to sound like an elitist, you know, I want you to sound like an elitist or anything, but did it feel easier to do? Is basically my question.
It felt easier to do, but... It's you're being put on the spot, right? So now, easier, like, you know the saying, easier said than done, right? You know that saying? Because, and you know, and so like we doctors can tell, not we doctors, but doctors can tell you not to do this, to do it this way, to eat this and not eat that. And you go outside and the doctor's doing the opposite of what he said to do. He's out there smoking cigarettes. I can't believe it when I see a doctor out there smoking, knowing that he's been taking care of people with cancer. But it's easier because we're human beings, right? So we're going to do what we do, right? And so for me, I knew that whatever he was asking me to do, it was simple to me. But because of the pressure of it, I was under pressure. So it was hard. But at the same time, the blessing is, it's like if somebody asks you to spell this word, and he asks you all these little baby words to spell, but there's a whole bunch of people around. A whole bunch of people. The pressure of that makes you uncomfortable, right? And so even though, you know, I can say, oh, that's so simple, right? But when you get that pressure, you get a little nervous and things get a little intense, and you tend to mess up. We make mistakes, right? Because of the pressure. And so fortunately for me, I didn't even know if I failed the test initially because Leon, he was like, okay, that's cool. We good. Okay, cool. All right. So we stopped, right? And I didn't say to him, so did I make the audition? Right? I didn't say that. I just like, okay. And so we got in the car and we rode back home. I went to Miss Spencer's house and I said, all right, Leon, I'll talk to you later. He said, okay, where the hell is it? Great job. Talk to you soon. But he never did. So I'm like waiting for him to tell me if I made the audition. But he didn't tell me. And so a couple of weeks go by and I still didn't hear anything. And I'm sort of wondering. And so I started getting a little concerned. And so finally, Mom said, you need to call him and ask him. Mom, I call Kevin Spencer's mom, my mom. That's because I live with her and Pops and Kevin. So it was us four. And so.
Right.
And so. I said, okay. So I called him. I said, Leon, hey, I was just wondering if I made the gig with the, the audition because, you know, I just need to know. And so he says, of course you did. And I said, okay. Well, you never told me. He said, I thought you knew that. I said, no, I didn't know that. I said, okay, cool. Well, when you guys get ready to start, you know, practicing with Dynasty, let me know. And then, because I'm going to go to Philadelphia, because I was used to having money. And I was just sitting there. I'm not making any money. So I'm used to working for my dad, and I'm ready to go home and work. And so he said, no, we can go in the studio. We're about to go in the studio and do the whispers and shout out my stuff. So anyway, don't forget, I was young. I was under pressure financially. I didn't know what was happening. I was in a strange place. I was 3,000 miles away from home, you know. And so I'm just kind of like in a bubble. I heard it, the whispers, because you know, they were older, but Shalamar, I really didn't hear. They had one hit out by the time I got there, and that was Take That to the Bank, right? And so I think they had another song out before that, but Take That to the Bank really made some noise on the East Coast. And so because when you heard the first song that they did, it sounded like Motown Review. It sounded like something Motown was doing, but they were singing the Motown song, Shalamar was. And so anyway, so next thing I know, we went in the studio and we started recording. The first thing I recorded was Second Time Around. I thought it was And the Beat Goes On, but And the Beat Goes On was created at that time while we were doing. Steve Shockley said that he, the other day when he was on, Steve Shockley from Lakeside, he played with Dynasty on all the stuff that we were doing for Solar. And so Steve said that he and Leon, they were in the car or something, or something like that. I forgot. He was just playing the plucking the guitar, and then Leon said, "What is that?" Oh no, he was at Leon's house, and they were working on. He was just plucking around, and so him and William Shelby, William started playing the keyboards, and then so that's when they started. But the first time I heard it was in the studio when we were doing Second Time Around. So anyway, so then we go in the studio. The next week after we did Second Time Around. And we did, And the Beat Goes On. And so here we go. Let's get to the music. But that's a story. I just want to kick it off. Thanks to Greg. I want to just make sure that you guys understand why we do this, because it was such a blessing, and it's such a story. There's so many stories from so many different people that have come to us and shared their stories on Solar Records Radio. Like the other day, we had Benjamin Wright, who did the strings and stuff for us. And you should have seen Ricky Freeze from Dynasty and the Time just sitting on, I mean, you should have heard him. He was there listening to and just being a part around Benjamin Wright, who was so amazing and how he brought these elements to our music. And then also Steve Shockley called in and basically did a hosting thing with me interviewing Benjamin Wright about all the blessings, all the songs he played on. And Steve Shockley said, very humbly, "You brought tears to my eyes when I heard you playing the, you know, having those guys play the strings and the horns, the French horns." Steve was screaming, "French horns, oh my God, French horns on my song." And so it just really blessed him. But anyway, so there's so much to talk about. There's so much music. And we thank you guys again for being a part of Solar Records Radio. Don, let's get into the music. You good with that? Is Don still
there? I am good.
All right.
You got to understand the delay, man. You got to understand the delay.
We got a delay. All right, guys. So here we go on Solar Records Radio. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
that feel to show the beat is real.
Thank you. understands how to get the ladies in the palm of his hands. But he's still a knight, fight the hype, hard excites the night, fishing at the right type at the round table, placing labels on a man who slicks can spark cable. He's all just in black, riding horseback, giving all the fine ladies a heart attack.
Got it going on. Man, how many girls you got, dude? He's player. Anyway, guys, this is Wardell Potts Jr. And man, oh man, the music, it's just really a beautiful blessing. And hey, if you got any questions for me, please feel free to either send it to me through Messenger. Okay. I need to make sure I check it. And you can put it in the group, right? Just put it on the page where the show is. Or you can email me at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. If you want to call, the telephone number is 646-668-8537. All right, one more time. 646-668-8537. All right? Cool. So I'm very happy that I could answer these questions you guys may have on your hearts and stuff. Let's do it. I love that you guys love the music that much. And so whatever I can do, if I don't know the answer, I will find the answer for you. That's the way it goes here on Solar Records Radio. All right, so we're going to definitely keep going. I think I saw some. Hold on, let me just confirm. Okay, keep sharing and not singing. Oh, that is so mean, Greg. See, that's Greg, guys. I want y'all to know Greg said that. So mean. I love this thing. You know, it's all good. Everybody likes to sing around this place. None of us can sing. That's the problem, right, Greg? But we do what we can. We do the best we can. Anyway, guys, so I just want to also tell you that, we are doing our best to be our best here at Solar Records Radio. We stay in touch with everybody. We're going to get together in the month of July with the people from Solar. I usually set up these meetings, and we get together at a restaurant and we sit down and we just chop it up and hang out and have a good time. So, it looks like that's what we're going to do, and I'm excited about it because I love my brothers. I love hanging out with them and stuff, and so we look forward to that. And I am going to, I've been trying to record it. Dana Myers recorded it one time, but, we were having a lot of technical issues, but we're definitely going to take pictures and stuff and share it with you guys, and you get to see us as we're getting older. Oh, boy. Hey, don't laugh because you're getting older, too. And guess what? That's a blessing. It's a blessing that we're getting older together. And we can reminisce. We can go down memory lane together. What's up, Chuck Gentry? How you doing, my brother? Much love to you, Chuck. I hope you're doing good. Chuck is in the house. And then And then also, who else was it? Barry Sarner, a keyboard player from Shalimar. Much love, Barry. Don Newton, the original drummer, live drummer for Shalimar. My brother Don Newton, much love, man. God bless you, Don. He's doing well. And everybody's still doing their thing, so I'm very, very happy and appreciate it. I think I did get a couple of messages in regards to, here they come. They're coming.
Here they coming.
What's up, Astrid? Astrid's in the house. What's up, Mamacita? Como está?
Mamacita.
I know. I don't know how to speak her language. So.
She's silly.
She's in Amsterdam. I don't even know. What language is that, Astrid? That you guys speak
it's Dutch.
And the strangest thing, I have two goddaughters that are Dutch, and they are tall with blue eyes, tall blonde blue eyes. I'm like, good gracious, y'all need to stop eating. They grew right past me, and now they're in college. So It's a beautiful thing. Yes, it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, guys, so Don, before we get back to the music, what's on your heart, bro? Any questions from your side of the board? Because let me see. I'm making sure I'm good. Okay.
You're not confused, are you?
No. People are asking questions, so I wanted to see if you had any. Did you have any questions? Anything about Solar that you want?
Man, I love the fact that, being out there. I was out there in 1980. You know what's so crazy? We might have crossed paths. If you saw a six-year-old passing by, it might have been me. How cool is that?
A six-year-old? I don't think so.
I know, right?
Oh, goodness gracious.
No, hey, not like that. No.
A six-year-old? No, I'm just saying. So six-year-old, what year was that, Don? Because I'll tell you where I was at.
In 1980. I was in Venice, California.
Oh, dude. I was in Beverly Hills in Studio Masters every day. Every day. In the studio.
We went to Beverly Hills. My aunt took me to Beverly Hills a couple of times when I was out there. So, hey, you never know.
Oh, that's true. That's right. You never know. We're right down the street from the Beverly Center. Have you ever gone to the Beverly Center?
Yes. Yes. Went to the Beverly Center. Art shopped out there. So, yeah.
And did you ever have...
High maintenance. But God rest her soul. Go ahead.
So, since I know that you love to eat, have you ever gone to Golden Bird Chicken?
Never.
Okay.
But I went to Fat Burger.
Yeah. So Fat Burger, between Fat Burger and Golden Bird Chicken, that was our diet. That's all we ate in the studio. Fat Burger and Golden Bird Chicken. That's it. That's all you get. I mean, they were right there close to us, and that's where we go. And it was amazing. And I still, when we get together, there's like maybe one Golden Bird Chicken in Los Angeles now, maybe two. And so we try to find those places and grab some chicken, and we get together and we sit down and we just chop it up and stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing my brothers in the month of July, and hopefully the gas price has gone down because I'm driving out there. And so I'm hoping, we're gonna have a good time. We always do. We get together, and Crystal comes up. Otis Stokes from Lakeside usually shows up, and Leon Silvers.
I got another
Barbie.
Place for you.
Where's that?
I got another place for you.
Where?
Louisiana Fried Chicken on Slauson and Crenshaw.
Oh, yeah. But that's way far from the studio, so, but yes.
I know that's on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the hood. It's in the hood, and
it's in the hood.
Yeah, that's in the hood.
It's so gentrified now.
That's in the hood. But hold on, wait. We used to live in the hood. So I actually when I moved out there, I told you I was not that far. I was probably about maybe a half an hour from there, with Mom Spencer. Yeah, so it was all good.
My
sister and my half sister lives out in Windsor Hills. So we took we were in Venice. We took Lincoln Boulevard up to Highway 1, and Highway 1 would end up at Ladera Heights. Ladera Heights put us on Slauson. So we got right out going down Slauson, and that's when we missed the turn, and we went all the way down to Crenshaw, and we saw like this Louisiana fried chicken. So it was like, you want something to eat? I was like, yeah, I can eat. So that's how I end up eating at Louisiana fried chicken. So
okay, well, you got to be careful when you're traveling, and no matter where you are in the world, there's always a hood in the world. You cannot make the wrong turn. It may not be food the next time. It could be something else. So it's because they watch. They know when the people are not from around the neighborhood, man. So don't forget, I grew up in Philadelphia, man. I know those cats. I know those characters.
I had a couple of run-ins. You know, I had a couple of run-ins in Inglewood. I had my Razorback gear on, you know, it's red, and I'm in Crip territory. I'm like, whoa, my niece was like, whoa, he's not in the gang. He's from Arkansas. And, you know, of course, Razorback red. And it's like, you know, they was like, what's up, blood? And I'm like, oh, no, I don't get down like that. And my niece ran down the street and was like, no, he's cool. So, yeah, I almost had a little runny.
Yeah,
one of the homies in the hood.
Yeah, well, thank God you need protection. So thank God for niece running down and covering you, because it gets crazy.
Yeah, I know, right?
It gets crazy. Just as crazy as politics. All right, guys, come on, let's get back to the music here on Solar Records Radio. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts. We want to celebrate the sound of Los Angeles music with you here, and we thank you for tuning in and being a part of this music with us. Let's rock and roll. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you. jump.
That is truly one funky track. Now, you got to see the video to that. It is so good. They are so into it. It is so on, and they're doing their thing. So, man, the Night Star doing what they do. And, hey, I just
want to
thank you guys so much for, you know, just being a part of the show again. Because you guys are the best part of the show, and we appreciate you. Let me get down to, I have questions here. Don, you have a question before I get to these?
Let's get to the people. Let's get to the questions from the people.
Okay, so can you tell us how you're able to create the sound of the studio versions to live on stage? Okay, and were any songs particularly difficult to be created on stage, and which were easy? Okay, I guess those weren't easy. All right, so let me just answer this question. So for Dynasty, we were really blessed because we were the studio and live simultaneously. So we sounded just like the record because we were the record, right? So when we went out to perform live, we sound just like the record. Everybody knew their parts. We just did what we were supposed to do. The most important thing at that point would be for the sound men to make sure that they have levels, you know, set up right. And so we would have a sound man to, you know, oversee and make sure everybody, you know, the levels that was going on to the audience was set up right. Now, you know, in regards to were there any songs more difficult than the others, you know, for me, as a drummer, all my stuff was locked in right there. I didn't have to switch and you know, tones and stuff like the synthesizer guys had to do. So for them, it was more work for them because we weren't faking it. We were playing live. There wasn't no computers. It was the real deal. And so everybody had to make the adjustment for the next song as we're ending the song that we're on. So they're slowly changing the sounds and getting ready for the next song. And my job was just to make sure that we maintain the tempos, you know, to make sure that, you know, that we got the right tempo. It's not too fast, not too slow. It's not dragging. It's not starting off slow and ending up fast. But to drive the train and make it a smooth ride, that was my part. And that was my gig. So, but as far as, you know, I'm quite sure, you know, there are songs that are out there that bring a lot of different elements, and it can be very difficult to do that stuff live, and that's always a difficult for, as well as always a challenge, you know, for people. They got to get out there and make sure that they're doing it right. So, but anyway, so thanks for that question. I mean, I hope I answered it. If that's what you're, hopefully I answered it the way you were expecting me to. Anyway, so let me just check here. How did I feel about being the drummer for the sound of Los Angeles Records? How I felt about, thank you for the question. I just felt that it was a gift. and it was an opportunity, and God gave it to me, and I appreciated it, and it was my job to take care of it and do the right thing with it. And I think that in any of our situations, no matter what it is that, you know, we're given, we need to make sure we take care of it and we do the best we can, especially if you believe that God gave it to you, right? And so it was an opportunity that I was looking for. It's so weird, like, how, you know, we kind of, something's happening inside of us that drives us a certain way. And before you know it, it actually comes into play and it happens. And I believe that's our spirit that's guiding us, telling us this is where you're supposed to go. This is what you're supposed to do. This is who you're supposed to meet. This is what's supposed to happen. And so it's really important also for, you know, you guys to remember that it's important that you are. And now I'm thinking about when I'm talking to you guys, I'm thinking about, because I go to colleges and I talk to the students that are going from high school to college for music. And so we have these conversations, and so I feel like I'm talking to the students and stuff. But for anybody, it's really important that you don't take it for granted. Don't take anything for granted, and remember your blessings and do the best you can. I've been given a gift, just like you've been given a gift. We all have a gift. We all special. We are all unique, and God has made us all for a reason, right? And so just remember that, and that will guide you. Okay. Let me get to the next question. In regards to music publishing, can you explain what that is? Okay, so publishing on like when you have a song, there's two parts of the song. There's the writer's share of the song, and then there's the publishing share of the song. So the song is not just about the writer's thing. So if somebody tells you, well, I mean, you're going to get 100% of your writers, don't worry about this other part. You need to worry about that other part. When they tell you not to worry about it, you need to worry about it, okay? Because that's yours. And the publishing part is yours until you sign it away. No one can take it from you. You have to give it away, okay? So you don't want to give away your publishing unless it's a deal breaker, okay? Unless it's part of what the deal is. Am I in this because I, you know, because I got lucky, or am I in this because I really love it and I've been doing it and I know what I'm doing and I, you know, you don't want people to take advantage of you and this is going to be your career? Then you should get an attorney. Get an attorney and say, hey, this is the situation. This is the contract they sent me. And then make sure the attorney goes over it with you. And then you need to go over what the attorney said to you so that you clearly understand. So, and the way that you do that is say to the attorney, after he explains it to you, say, so what I hear you saying is, and then you ask the question. So what I hear you saying is, and then you ask the question just to make sure that whatever he said to you, that you really understand, right? And so then once you are clear on what he says to you and you are comfortable with what he says in regards to what you're about to sign, then you move forward. But most attorneys will not allow you to give away your publishing. They will negotiate like a co-publishing deal for you if the company or the other individuals are really desperate for your publishing. They really, it's like, we got to have that. That's the way it goes. Well, you know, the whole purpose of the publishing, if the reason why it's okay to give them the publishing, because if they're getting your music published, then they deserve that. Right? So, but if you're doing all the work, you're writing the songs and you're getting the stuff published, you don't need to do that. So think about it, okay? And so I hope I answered your question. You know, it's a lot to learn, you know, as you're growing in the industry. And for me, it was, I got kicked in the head a couple times, you know, because I didn't know. I did not know. And so so we're going to, you know, it's like riding a bicycle. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to fall, you know, but you got to get back up, get on the bike and keep going. So, but just trusting your instincts because it's very important. All right. Well, all right, so let's get back to the music. I love talking to you guys, but the music is just awesome. Thanks for the questions, and please feel free to continue to ask questions. I love it. All right, so here we go on Soul Art Records Radio. We'll be right back.
Do I have this feeling about the hatred in the air? Some of us don't think it's fair. I say you, look inside yourself. Check it out. Do you care? We are on this earth together. Fighting friends don't ever win. Some of us don't want to bend. I say you, come and take my hand.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Oh, man, that was a fun song of Dynasties, and I was really blessed to have the opportunity to write that song for Dynasty. And so, with Dana Myers and Ron Parker. And we had a great time, and I'm just very grateful for that. Anyway, you guys, wow, great questions. And I'd like to thank you for really blessing the show with your questions. I think I have more. So let's see. Okay, hold on. I'm getting there. In this studio, was each instrument recorded separately or more than one instrument at a time? You know, that question almost makes me sad because, you know, we were really, really, really blessed to have each other in the studio. And I have a robot behind me talking. I'm sorry. My robot's talking. But anyway, back in the day, they were real musicians. And so we went in the studio as a unit, and we had each other as a blessing to kind of help us to navigate. And what I mean by that is that I would play my part, you know, they play their parts, but, you know, Leon made it so that we felt comfortable enough to ad-lib whenever we wanted to. And don't get me wrong, if we got a little carried away, he let us know, right? And so, but for the most part, everybody had became professional, and we learned exactly what it meant to lay down the groove and be responsible for your part. Because the longer it took, everybody, if one person makes a mistake, we all starting all over. Especially if I make a mistake, we got to start all over. And so, that wasn't my call. That was just Leon's call, because he was more concerned about the foundation of the music when we started recording. Make sure we get the foundation locked first, and then I can build on top of it. It's like a building, right? You need to have a good, firm foundation, and then you can build a skyscraper. But you got to have a good, or you can just have a small building. But it doesn't matter. As long as you have a firm foundation, you can do whatever it takes. And so Leon was very, very, I want to say the word anal, but he was very serious about making sure that happened. And that put a lot of pressure on me just to think about it, because I had to make sure I got my part first before everybody else could move on, no matter how good they were playing throughout the sessions. So this is how it would go, just to give you an idea. Let me turn this down a little bit. So this is how it would go. You go, okay, so everybody got the guitar players. We usually had two guitar players, maybe two keyboard players, but for the most part, one keyboard player, two guitar players, drums, and bass. And that's usually the unit that goes in. And every once in a while, they can switch it around depending on the song and have two keyboard players and one guitar player. And so we would go in, and I would count the songs off. Leon would give me the tempo. And because my drums were mic'd and I was in another room, I was the metronome. And so I was a human metronome. So I would just click my sticks, and everybody would know that's the count. One, two, One, two, three, da, 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 boom, boom. Then we go right into the groove, and everybody just falls in. And then and Leon was a metronome as well, because he's bobbing his head to the groove the whole time. That's how he plays. He plays. He is Mr. Pocket, right? That's why he's a legend. And so we would make sure. At least I knew I had to make sure my part was done right. And so I worked very, very hard, to make sure that the pocket was locked and that it was good. And I did my part. And I would try ad-libs and little things here and there, because those little things were so important. So that, but also it was really important that you were in the studio with other musicians simultaneously, because you learn, you hear, you feel, you develop different movements, different emotions when they start doing something different. It's like, oh. And so I hear that, and so, oh, I know he's going to do it again the next time it comes around. And so when he comes back around again, I'm going to catch it, and I'm going to do it with him, you see. And so it stuff starts to build up, and then other people start to say, oh, I hear that. I'm going to catch that too. And then before you know it, okay, let's do all the start it all over, and let's do it again. Now everybody knows that we're going to catch this part. Because it happened when one person did it, then another person did it, all of a sudden it was a thing. And then we were all doing it. And so it became part of the song. So that's why it's so good and so important that we have other musicians that we record live, and we're in there together. The camaraderie is absolutely amazing. And you could look, we could look each other in the eyes, and we could feel that we were in the pocket. And it was just an amazing feeling and an amazing opportunity for all of us. So, and then when it came down to the other part of the question, or one instrument at a time. So, or one instrument at a time did happen. But after we got the main groove done, everybody, Leon loved the drums. Now, he said, we got the foundation, and Leon would go in and he would fix his parts, any mistakes he made. And I was the one that usually punched him. And then, you know what I mean, punch, not with my fist, with the recording machine. And I would, you know, fix parts, help him fix his part, because he couldn't play and punch himself at the same time. And so, and then, and I got to tell you, that was very difficult, because Leon played very intricately. And so his parts would be very melodic and busy. And if you weren't paying attention, you would not know what he was talking about. I actually paid so close attention to what he was playing, because I was always trying to match him with my kick drum. So I knew his bass line just as good as he did. I was like white on rice with Leon. I was stuck on him like glue. And you know, even when we were leaving to go someplace, they said, back up, man, get off me. No, I'm just playing. but in the studio, it was like him and I were like hand in glove. We had to be that way to make the foundation pop. That was the goal, make that foundation pop. And then once the bass and the drums was locked, whoa, it was on. Everybody else was able to, so the individual to come back, and sometimes instead of just fixing the parts, they want to play the whole thing again. And so the guitar player come in and play his part all the way through, and the keyboard player may play his part all the way through. You know, whatever the case is, if the keyboard was really good already, Leon's not taking that risk, because we didn't have, you know, that thing like they do now with the computers. Oh, you know, erase something, and now you could just bring it back. No, we couldn't do that. Once it was gone to magnetic heaven, is what we called it. It was gone. Once you erased it, it was gone. And so everything was analog. It wasn't digital back then. So we didn't have it would have been a blessing, because Leon lost a lot of hair. He was so stressed out sometimes. It was crazy. But that's just part of the gig. It's just, you know, it's what you sign up for. You know, like being in the service and you go to war, you got to be down in the trenches and you just, and it gets rough and scary. You just never know, man, am I going to make it out of here alive? You know, so, but, you know, that was what it was. And that's what we did. And it was a beautiful opportunity to be in the trenches with, you know, the Throwdown Brothers and to be there with, you know, Leon Silvers as the head chef to make sure that at the end of the day, it was going to be good. Even if we sound like a mess, I knew that it would be good because Leon had a way of taking it someplace else. It was always, even songs that I was like, I'm going to be honest, I did not like Second Time Around. I just thought it's just kind of, don't forget I was only 21 years old. Who, I didn't know anything, you know, and so I'm like, what? I want something fast. Like, I like right in the socket. Yeah, that's grooving and fast. That's what it is. And I was thinking that was going to be the first single. When they said Second Time Around, I was like, what? But by the time Leon got finished with it, I was like, whoa. Man, he really shined that baby up. And so that's, I hope I didn't take too long with the answering that question, but it was such a good question because my response is I'm trying to give you the detailed answer because it's you deserve that, and the listeners do too. There's a lot that went on, and I love the stories behind the stories, and I'm glad that I could share my stories because there's so many more stories. There's other people that have total different stories than mine, and it could be about the same session. And that's why I try so hard to get my brothers and sisters from Solar to come on and share their stories. And they have throughout the years. They've come on and sat down with us and shared their stories, you know. And so, and a lot of times they go, I don't have anything else to say. I say, yes, you do. Just come on. And once they start, once the listeners start asking you questions, you go, oh, nobody's ever asked me that before. So you got a lot to say. Because that just happened to me the other day, right? Remember I told you I was on Houston radio being interviewed, and they asked me questions I'd never been asked before. I was like, wow, after all these years, and you're asking me a question no one's ever asked? So it's all good. Anyway, so thank you for the questions. Let me see. I think I have one more. So how do you approach a song that you don't like? So how do you approach a song that you don't like? It's a job. Straight out. It's like a client coming into your shop with their hair is all messed up. And they want you to, they show you a picture of something that's so beautiful. Can you do this to my hair? And so you do your best to be your best and make them feel great. And so those songs, I have a sense of responsibility to the writers of those songs that I play for. My job is to try to make it sound even better and take it to the next level. You know, so that's what I, my approach was always to make it better than what it was when I first heard it. And so for the most part, I did a good job. Sometimes I would fail in my attempts, but we keep going through it until we get it right. And I'm grateful to Leon for, you know, making sure that we did that, as he is a perfectionist. So, okay, now get it. What? Oh, now I get it. Okay, cool. All right, guys, so much love, and you get it. I'm glad y'all got it. And, you know, whenever you need or want to ask a question, please, there's no stupid questions. Feel free to ask the questions. I'm here for that. I love it. And I hope that I can accommodate you in, and, you know, in answering your questions. It's an opportunity. This station gives us that opportunity so we can communicate about these things. That's what it's all about, us communicating to one another intimately and directly. So we thank you guys so much for being a part of Solar and blessing us and being the best part of Solar Records Radio. And we want to remember that we have to keep Ukraine, the people in Ukraine, in our prayers, okay? And the people even in that region in our prayers, because it's just dangerous. It's kind of a dangerous time. And we just pray that they can find some music that soothes their souls and make them comfortable and make everything all right. We hope that we can get the world to just stop the nonsense and come together and be a blessing to each other, because we're all better together. We all are better together. And I just wish that we would do that for each other and for our families. All right, guys, so I'm going to play this beautiful song that I just heard this week for the first time. So here we go on Solar Records Radio. This is called Alibi by the group Lakeside.
I don't know what I was thinking about. It's 5 o'clock, I'm just getting home, roaming on my own. What can I tell her that she might understand?
Why does a man so in love spend himself so thin when he could never win in the end?
sorry, baby. Though I really love you, girl, I made a mistake and I'm sorry. I need an alibi, or I'll be caught in the wrong. Don't wanna have to tell a lie, but the thought of you leaving, oh, don't think I can go on any longer. An alibi, or I'll be without the one I love. Don't wanna have to tell a lie, but the thought of you.
All right, this is to my buddy Greg for blessing us all the time here on Soul Actors Radio. All right. There you go. Well, guys, much love to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, being a part of Soul Erica's Radio. We are up and out of this joint, man. Woo, woo, woo. I thought Eddie, what happened to you, buddy? I was waiting for my buddy Eddie to call in. But it's all good. Much love and God bless to everyone. Tomorrow, Solar wants to dance. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to be out. I have a family event that I have to go to. Unfortunately, it's a sad one. And so I have to be there. So I believe Don Fleming will be doing the show tomorrow, but we'll see. I'm not sure. We're still figuring all that out. All right. So anyway, God bless you guys. But the show is 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. Not 3, but 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you guys take care of yourselves and be blessed and be a blessing to someone. And we'll catch you later. Good night. God bless. Thanks, Greg. And for all your love, man, appreciate you. And Astrid, we're glad you're back. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling on Soul Erica's Radio. Later, Don.